Dear people of God, grace and peace to you this holy night from God who created this day and put us in it, and from Jesus our Savior, the one baby born in Bethlehem. When the angels had left the shepherd and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and check out what the angel was talking about." And so they did just that, and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. Just over 5 years ago now, a small group from Spirit of Joy visited Israel. We went to the Holy Land, and it was a great trip, a dream come true. We learned so much and saw so much. As we prepared to travel, one of the things I was most looking forward to was spending some time in Bethlehem, visiting that place where the baby was laid in the manger. What a thrill, I imagine, to visit the very site where Mary gave birth and laid her child in a bed of straw. How joyful to stand on that very piece of ground where the angels heard, where the shepherds heard the angels announce the coming of the Christ child. Well, the way to Bethlehem today is blocked by a long, high separation wall that divides the city and the West Bank from Jerusalem and the rest of Israel. Now, to get to the city of David, you have to wait in line to go through a checkpoint to get to where you want to go, to see the place where the holy manger stood. When our bus stopped at the checkpoint, two young armed Israeli soldiers climbed aboard, a young woman and a young man. The woman walked down the aisle, asked us to hold up our passports. The young man had sunglasses on muscles, and cradled his weapon as his partner did the checking. I thought in that moment that this was not the Bethlehem that I learned about in Sunday school. Once through the checkpoint, our bus navigated the sea of cars and scores of other buses making their way to the same place we intended to go. And there our group stood outside the Church of the Holy Nativity, waiting with hundreds of visitors speaking dozens of languages, all wanting to get to the same place. We waited and listened while the tour guides argued in Arabic over who should go first. And our guide was the loudest of all, so we got to go first, which was a good thing. We stooped into the entrance. The entrance to the Church of the Holy Nativity is a small door. We stooped down into the entrance, and on the other side of the door, we saw another line. This line winding around towers of scaffolding. The church inside, the space was dim and was anything but a sacred place for prayer, it seemed to us. We waited and waited in anticipation, hopefully, obediently, truthfully, not very patiently, for our turn to walk down the steps to where Jesus was born. We were finally herded down these steep stairways to gaze upon a slab of marble. In the middle of the slab of marble, there is a star. We had about 60 to 90 seconds to take a glimpse, and then we're herded up the stairs and out the church. It was not much of a holy moment. It was too cluttered, too crowded, too many tourists, too many other tourists. It felt ordinary. To be honest, it was irritating. Nothing like the warm and wonderful feeling you get on Christmas Eve when the worship space is lit by candlelight. That's what I wanted at the sight of Jesus' birth, only magnified by the location. Of course, the first Christmas didn't feel much like a holy moment either. You've heard the story again. There was nothing particularly special about Bethlehem other than it was where King David came from. A pregnant teen is forced to travel miles upon miles in the ninth month of her pregnancy to an unfamiliar place. An angel told her that her baby was the Son of God, heir to the throne of King David. And I wonder if, after the announcement, Mary wondered if her baby might be born in a place fitting for a king. Perhaps in some royal bedroom somewhere with silk sheets and a team of midwives on call. No matter. When the labor pangs began, a shelter for livestock became the birthing center. Scattered hay became her bed. An old wooden feeding trough became her baby's bassinet. The Word became flesh, John says, and dwelt in our midst, in the middle of us, dwelt among us. The Savior sent from God was born and laid not in a bed with silk sheets, but in a manger filled with straw. Divinity was set down in the ordinary so that we could find him there, so that we could meet him there. We come tonight to Bethlehem to see this thing that the angels have been talking about. Both the Bethlehem of no vacancy signs, cattle stalls, manure, and a manger, and the Bethlehem of separation walls, armed soldiers, pushy pilgrims, and lives in need of scaffolding and refurbishment. There is no little town of Bethlehem lying still tonight. All the Bethlehems in this world struggle with the chaos and confusion of real life. There is only the Bethlehem that exists in the middle of hungry and hurting people. And it's there that God became truly human, so that God could become truly known. God comes to Bethlehem because it's where we live. We don't live in Oz or Disney World. We don't live on Cloud Nine. We don't attend the Church of Perpetual Holy Moments. We live in Bethlehem. Now, you can call it Sioux Falls or Brandon or Harrisburg. You can call it Rapid City or Minneapolis or Washington, D.C. or Charleston or San Bernardino or Damascus or Kabul. There's really only Bethlehem. Bethlehem, where the eternal becomes flesh and blood. Bethlehem, where the Savior of the whole world, the one who will forgive all sins, is laid in straw. You see, a God who limited God's self to meetups on mountaintops and entertaining revelations, that kind of God can't really help us. That kind of God is way too far away. We need a God who comes to us in the middle of the night, in the middle of the valley of shadows. We need a God who comes to us right where the walls divide us, right where vendors are shouting at us, right where everybody's pushing to get to the front of the line. We need a God who meets us where hearts and souls are constantly under construction. We need a God where love and grace appear as more than grand spiritual ideals, but become real. And so God comes there. God comes here. Jesus is born where we need him most. There was a meeting at a small church. The leaders of the church had called the meeting in order for people to pray for a family in town who was suffering serious financial troubles. They had run out of money. There was insufficient food in the house for the many children who lived there. The house was sparsely furnished and really not much more than a shabby shack. A committee of the devout gathered that evening to offer fervent prayers for God's mercy and blessing to somehow rain down upon this destitute family. And while they were praying, they heard footsteps, small steps it sounded like, coming from the back of the church. They turned and saw the small son of one of their members. He made his appearance and announced, "My dad couldn't come tonight, but he laid his prayers in my wagon. He put his prayers in my wagon, and I'm wondering if you could help me carry those prayers inside." The committee was curious, wondered what he was talking about, and so they went out to check on the prayers. And one by one, they re-entered the church carrying a sack of potatoes, a quarter of beef, several cans of assorted vegetables, a bag of flour, a basket of apples, and several rolls of toilet paper. The Word made flesh. The Word made groceries. The Father's prayer laid in a wagon, whereas humble and tangible as God's answer to our prayers laid in straw in a manger in Bethlehem. The Savior came there. The Savior came here for us to see that there is no place that is off limits to God, no place that's too ordinary, too common, or too base. There is no such thing as a life that is too broken, too isolated, too forgotten, too addicted, or too lost for God to heal. The Savior who comes in straw comes to places where hospice is offered, to treatment centers and homeless shelters, to where broken people celebrate and where joyful people celebrate tonight. We've gathered here in this beautiful space on this wonderful day to celebrate the birth of the Christ child. The flowers and the decorations are beautiful. The music is grand. Singing Silent Night by candlelight, my favorite part, is yet to come. I can't imagine Christmas without the experience of worshiping with you this way on Christmas Eve. But tonight, let's not forget that the good news of this night is that the Word became flesh in Bethlehem. The Savior was laid in straw so that we might meet Him in our ordinary, troubled, and our joy-filled days. The last time our son and daughter-in-law came home with our then 9-week-old granddaughter, many of you know that Catherine and I became grandparents this past fall. Evelyn is pacing with her mother back there right now as I speak. When Ben and Kristen brought Evelyn home, they wanted to show us that she was just able now to lift up her head. And so they laid a blanket on our living room floor and placed her on her tummy. And then Kristen laid on one side of her and Ben laid on the other side of her. And they called her by name. And first she looked at Mom and then Dad called her name and she just lifted her little head and turned over and looked at Dad. It's the miracle of Christmas. The miracle of Christmas is that God lays down so close to us in the straw of our existence and meets us there. God calls us by name, hey, beloved ones, that we might lift up our heads just enough to see where God calls from. The Savior has come here tonight to Bethlehem. Look and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us. Amen.